Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, and as I've mentioned before on this broadcast, a Journal of Discourses is a 26-volume set of various sermons given by Mormon leaders during the late 19th century. And asking the question, what would life have been like if you were a 19th century Mormon living in Utah and listening to the sermons that were given back then? Because certainly when we compare the bluntness and, of course, the topics that were given back in the 19th century, many of them are much different than what we hear in General Conference today and at various firesides given by Mormon leaders today. We are looking, again, at the subject of polygamy. And this time we're looking at what Mormon leaders said regarding polygamy when it came to their own personal salvation or exaltation. As we've mentioned, yes, you can look at the Old Testament, and yes, you can find examples of the patriarchs having more than one wife. But one thing you will not find in the Old Testament is anywhere where God said that if they did not practice polygamy, that they would lose their salvation. We don't find plural marriage in the Old Testament having anything to do with the salvation of an individual. That is one area where Mormonism differs drastically from the examples that we do find in the Old Testament. And as I've mentioned, though we do find plural marriage in the Old Testament, it appears that God merely tolerated it. He never commanded it. But that is not true with Mormonism. For instance, I'm looking here at Volume 11. Volume 11 in the Journal of Discourses, Brigham Young on August 19, 1866, and you can find this on page 269, he said this, "The only men who become gods, even the sons of God, are those who enter into polygamy." Hear that again. The only men who become gods, even the sons of God, are those who enter into polygamy. Now, of course, Mormons today don't enter into polygamy, at least not in the traditional sense of the word. As we've mentioned before, Mormonism still has today a concept known as celestial polygamy, where a Mormon male, if he's faithful, can be sealed to more than one faithful Mormon woman. And they certainly hope that in the next life that they will be together as husband and wives in the next life. That has never been denied. Never been denied. So, we're going to look on in this subject. Volume 16 in the Journal of Discourses, we find this statement. This is given by Brigham Young. And Brigham Young said on August 31st, 1873, you can find this on page 166. This is kind of a lengthy quote, but I think it's important. Brigham Young says on 166 in the Journal of Discourses, "You will recollect, brethren and sisters, that it was in July 1843 that he, speaking of Joseph Smith, received this revelation concerning celestial marriage." What sounds odd about that statement, Eric?
It's an interesting idea that he's throwing out here that I don't think a lot of Mormons probably understand or know things like this were actually said back in these days.
Because this is a controversial statement here, because Mormons have insisted that Joseph Smith didn't receive it in July of 1843, as Brigham Young has just stated, but that he merely recorded it on that date. And some have said, and even some of Brigham Young's own colleagues had said, that he received the revelation as early as maybe 1831 or 1832. So maybe this was a slip of the tongue. I don't know.
Well, and that was, as we've said, to protect him from any scrutiny, because if it hadn't been until 1843, more than half of his wives came
before the revelation.
So how could that have been? It's a scandal is what it would be.
Right. Well, anyway, Brigham Young goes on to say, this doctrine was explained, and many received it as far as they could understand it. Some apostatized on account of it, but others did not and received it in full in their faith. This also is a great and noble doctrine. Here's what's interesting. Listen very carefully, folks. Brigham Young says that when this doctrine was explained, many received it as far as they could understand it, but some also apostatized on account of it. If you talk to a modern Latter-day Saint and you point to section 132, where we actually find this teaching, you will have many Mormons tell you that that really has nothing to do with polygamy or plural marriage at all. That's merely talking about celestial marriage, or the idea of being with your mate throughout this time and also into eternity. If that's really how it was understood during the 19th century, why would people leave the church over it?
Over a glorious teaching of, if that's what the current membership believes, that's certainly not what they believed back then. That's why they were leaving.
Everything in Mormonism today is all about being with the family. Why would people leave over this doctrine?
No.
Why would Emma have to be threatened in section 132 that she better embrace all those that had been given to her husband Joseph? Why would she have to be threatened with that? Are we to assume that she wouldn't want to live forever with Joseph?
But this is the thing. A lot of new converts especially probably know nothing about this. This information is vital for them to know. You got to know your history here.
Exactly. He goes on to say, as far as this pertains to our natural lives here, there are some who say it is very hard. They say, this is rather a hard business. I don't like my husband to take a plurality of wives in the flesh. Just a few words upon this, Brigham Young said. We would believe this doctrine entirely different from what it is presented to us if we could do so. If we could make every man upon the earth get him a wife, live righteously, and serve God, we would not be under the necessity, perhaps, of taking more than one wife. Now, I find that statement interesting, Eric, because it sounds like he's almost alluding to this idea, this false notion that we have heard several times, that the reason why Brigham Young and others practiced polygamy was because there was a surplus of women. And that is just not true. The statistics do not show that there was a surplus of women, yet we hear this excuse all the time. In fact, I just heard it from a sister missionary while visiting the Beehive House just not too terribly long ago, just a few weeks ago, she used that argument. And I asked her, who told you that? Because that is not historically accurate. And then, of course, you want to know where I got my information, and I had to tell her, well, I got it from John Witzo in his book Evidences and Reconciliations. He's the Mormon apostle that actually states that fact. Brigham Young goes on, the women are entitled to salvation if they live according to the word that is given to them, and if their husbands are good men and they are obedient to them, they are entitled to certain blessings, and they will have the privilege of receiving certain blessings that they cannot receive unless they are sealed to men who will be exalted. Now, where a man in this church says, I don't want but one wife, I will live my religion with one, he will perhaps be saved in the kingdom, in the celestial kingdom, but when he gets there, he will not find himself in possession of any wife at all. So the question then becomes, where does she go? Brigham Young goes on. He has had a talent that he has hid up. He will come forward and say, here is that which thou gavest me, I have not wasted it, and here is the one talent, and he will not enjoy it, but it will be taken and given to those who have improved the talents they received, and he will find himself without any wife, and he will remain single forever and ever. But if the woman is determined not to enter into a plural marriage, that woman, when she comes forth, will have the privilege of living in single blessedness through all eternity. So you can see that polygamy, as it was understood in the 19th century, was salvific. You had to practice it if you hoped to receive the best the Mormon religion had for you. Now, of course, that is not what Mormonism teaches today. Now, you have a quotation, Eric.
Yeah, from Orson Pratt, October 7th, 1874. And on page 224, volume 17, he says, God has told us Latter-day Saints that we shall be condemned if we do not enter into that principle. And yet I have heard now and then, I am very glad to say that only a few such instances have come under my notice. A brother or sister say, I am a Latter-day Saint, but I do not believe in polygamy. Oh, what an absurd expression. What an absurd idea. He goes on and says, if the doctrine of polygamy as revealed to the Latter-day Saints is not true, I would not give a fig for all your other revelations that came through Joseph Smith the prophet. So what he's saying here is this revelation is more important than any other. He goes on and says, the Lord has said that those who reject this principle reject their salvation. They shall be damned. So added on to what you just read there, this is something that you had to do. Salvation was dependent on it. And if you didn't do it, then you were headed toward damnation.
Now, a Mormon will argue, but we're not allowed by the law to practice it now. But yet, I have talked to many Latter-day Saints who don't like the doctrine at all. So couldn't you say that in their heart, they are rejecting plural marriage? And if they are rejecting it, even though they don't have the opportunity to practice in this life, wouldn't it appear that that will make them suffer in the next life? Because there's no way that you can escape it. According to Brigham Young, it was the prophet of God. Is this Brigham Young, volume 24? I can't remember.
It's John Taylor,
the third president of the Mormon Church. It was the prophet of God who revealed that to us in Nauvoo, and I bear witness of this solemn fact before God that he did reveal this sacred principle to me and others of the 12, and in this revelation it is stated that it is the will and law of God that, quote, all those who have this law revealed unto them must obey the same, and the revelation further says, quoting, for behold, I reveal unto you a new and everlasting covenant, and if you abide not that covenant, then are you damned. Think of that, will you? For it is further said, no one can reject this covenant and be permitted to enter into my glory.
These are incredible quotes. We have more quotes. We're not going to get to all of them.
No.
But mrm.org/journalgems, journal with a J, gems with a G, one word. You're going to find more. And you need to do some research, Latter-day Saint, if you're doubting what we're saying. This is 19th century Mormonism.
If there's nothing else, a Mormon who does not like the concept of polygamy in the next life or whatever clearly would not have survived as a faithful Mormon in the 19th century.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in downtown Salt Lake City to browse the largest inventory of Christian books on the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from the Smith Ballpark. Whether you're looking for a basic introduction or a more scholarly work, Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding the appropriate resources so you can better understand the LDS religion. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore also carries dozens of books that Sandra and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes their comprehensive work, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. So, once again, if you have questions about the LDS faith, there is always somebody behind the desk who would be more than happy to assist you. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and on Saturdays from 1 to 5. Remember, when in Salt Lake City, be sure to come check out the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there at 1358 South and West Temple.